Next up, we're going to explore one of the biggest and most influential ideas of the past 200 years or so. In his famous lecture on the Introduction to Psychoanalysis, Sigmund Freud pointed to three ideas that changed everything and everyone. The first came from Copernicus, who said that we are not at the center of the universe. The second came from Charles Darwin, who said that we are not at the center of nature. And the third came from Sigmund Freud himself, who said that we are not in command of our conscious selves. Well, today on ABC Radio, we're going to put Copernicus and the very self-centered Sigmund Freud aside and explore Darwin's idea of biological evolution, because 160 years ago, on this very day, his book, The Origin of Species, was published. And our guide to this momentous book, this huge text and this idea, is Dr. Timothy Bonnet, who's a postdoctoral researcher at the ANU College of Sciences. Welcome, Dr. Bonnet. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
A simple question first. What's the book all about? Where do species come from?
Right. Big question. So that's a big book, so it's difficult to summarize it in quickly, but the main idea is that species come from this process called natural selection. And natural selection has been summarized in different ways, but you can think of it as the individuals that are most adapted to their current environment, the place where they live, the other species with which they interact. These individuals are going to be the ones that survive, reproduce, and transmit their genes. And by doing so, they are going to give the impression of design by getting more and more adapted to what's around them.
And that's why it was such a revolutionary idea, because previously, people thought by and large that nature was designed usually by God. Is that right?
Well, I guess so. I'm not an expert on the history of science, but people, at least the general public would think that, and it was quite a common conception in the scientific community too, yeah.
How did Darwin come up with this idea? Was he looking at particular species?
It's, again, difficult to tell, but he travelled when he was a young naturalist around the world and saw lots of different things, including geology and lots of species that look the same, but not exactly in different places. And he basically summarizes all this kind of evidence he had collected from what he has seen on the field and books he had read into this idea. I'm not sure exactly how he came up with that. It's certainly the sum of lots of different little facts that seem to indicate that theory.
I actually read a little bit in preparation, and it's a wonderful read. It's superbly written. And one of those little facts he points out, I noticed, was that in terms of beauty, previously a lot of people thought that, say, flowers were made beautiful because they were made by some great creator and to please the human eye. That's why humans were so important in nature. We were at the very center of it. But for him and for evolutionary biologists, flowers are beautiful because that helps them to survive and evolve, because it attracts bees and pollinators and that sort of thing. Is that basically it?
Yeah, exactly. I will just have to be careful here. You have to be sure that you understand that it's not the species that does that. It's at the individual level. Evolution by natural selection is not for the good of the species. It happens because the individuals that would be slightly prettier to the eye of the bee will be the one that attract more pollinators, and they are the ones that are going to transmit their genes a bit more compared to the ugly ones. And so that's only a process that happens for the good of the individual in the current condition, that has no there is no
cooperation among species, among individuals.
Not necessarily, at least.
Yeah. On ABC Radio, this is Sunday Drive, and on the 160th anniversary of the publication of The Origin of Species, we're speaking with Dr. Timothy Bonnet, who's going to tell us all about his work in evolutionary biology. Al, if you want to give us a call, if you have a particular interest in nature, in Darwin, in the origin of species, you can call 1-300-681-666, 1-300-681-666, or SMS 0467-922-666. Okay, it's been 160 years. What's happened to evolutionary biology? What did he get right and what did he get wrong?
All right. So I guess he got right most of it. He really got right the big, big picture. Then he got wrong details in funny way sometimes, and most of what he got wrong had to do with what we didn't know in his days. For instance, he didn't know what was the mechanism for inheritance. Why do offspring look like their parents? And so, because he didn't know that, he didn't get right what are the properties of inheritance. Now we know that it's the transmission of DNA that explain most of the similarity between parents and offspring. And because DNA are just bits of molecules that are discrete, like you can have a letter or you don't have that letter in your DNA, the transmission is particular. It has particles. It's not a continuous scale. And Darwin thought it would rather be a blending inheritance where you are the average of your two parents. But it's not the case. You have to be a bit more one or the other, based on the random sampling. And because of that, it's much more easier to have genetic differences that keep existing in a population and give more room for natural selection to operate.
Mm. And Dr. Timothy Bonnet at the ANU College of Sciences, what did he get right? What's still very influential about the origin of species and Charles Darwin's ideas?
Well, I would say the main thing is really this brilliant idea of natural selection, understanding that you can get the illusion of design. You can have organisms that look as if they have been made for place and for condition just by this process of differential survival and reproduction. And that's still the idea that is behind most of evolutionary biology and a big chunk of biology in general also. And I must also say, this idea since then have been applied outside of biology. It's used in linguistics, it's used in psychology, it's used in politics to understand why some structures or ideas remain in time and some disappear. So that's the number one idea.
And how have you used the origin of species? When did you first encounter it?
So I certainly heard of it very early in my studies, probably in high school. And I heard of it and read little parts during my more specialized studies in university. But actually, I didn't read the book until I think the last month of my PhD, which is funny because I had worked for already 6 or 7 years in the field of evolutionary biology and genetics. And I had used these ideas of genetic evolution, natural selection, quite a lot. But I didn't feel like I had time to read this book, in part because, well, it has been very, very influential. But since then, there have been hundreds of other very, very interesting books published on the topic. So I didn't feel like I had the time to read that book that is a bit outdated until, well, the end of my PhD.
And does it influence your work today, or is it just too old and passé?
I would say it probably influences my work a bit, because when I read it, I was really impressed, actually. I must say that, well, I knew all of it, kind of, but the way it's written and the way it's rooted in basic observation that anyone can do really impressed me, because while he didn't know about DNA, he didn't know about the age of the Earth, he didn't know about lots of things, but just by basic observation, careful observation and thinking of like pigeons and birds and earthworms, he built up this huge theory and understood something very fundamental. So I certainly sometimes wonder, oh, am I like too far from observing nature as it is? Like, should I go look at birds instead of reading this book?
Dr. Timothy Bonnet, we've got a text from Peter of Noble Park. Did Darwin turn to God at the end of his life? Do you know about his life history?
I'm really not sure about that. I know he was not very religious, for sure, and he was very aware that his theory was against some religious people, and actually he tried to not antagonize them. From what I know, in his book, he was careful to acknowledge, at least after the second edition, the possible role of a creator, because he had friends who were very religious themselves. But I don't know if what were his beliefs, actually. I don't know.
I'm sure he's looking down on us today, or maybe he isn't. He's evolving. Dr. Timothy Bonnet, postdoctoral researcher at ANU College of Sciences, thanks for guiding us through the origin of species on this 160th anniversary of its date of publication. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.